welcome to what is currently called the Jackie and Laura show.
Lori, you're out. Kick bricks.
Kick pranks. I'm Jackie Cation, and who is with me? But I understand her name is the Great Laura House. Is that correct?
That's the name I came with. You know, it's not something I did. I'm not a magician or anything. You know, like that's just the
you
name.
You should know. Yeah, let me just tell you.
That's my Christian name that I was given. I was born with.
Right.
What am I gonna do?
It is. It's Lori Kilmartin's birthday, and as a birthday gift, Laura House has decided to step in. I'm just trying to duplicate
that is amazing,
what Lori did.
You got the same gift.
Yes.
Well, you know, I don't know if I'm re-gifting myself or you're re-gifting me to each other. Like she gave you me and a day off, and you are now giving her the same. I don't mind.
Damn right. That's it. Lori and I tried. Lori's on vacation.
Which
much like I was on vacation.
That's never been said before. Lori Kilmartin is on vacation.
Ever. So, which means she's probably only doing 3 to 7 sets a week, I assume.
Yeah,
I assume that brings it down to her just.
Yeah, I was like,
writing
how many
a
one-nighters?
Novel?
Yes, yeah. she's probably just writing 2 or 3 books.
Right,
just
she just decided.
Taking some time to herself.
Just doing a little solo time when she did not have to worry in between laps. Because she's swimming,
she's,
of course.
She's probably just, you know, competing in like some kind of mid-level or regional swim competition. And just writing, you know, a couple of non-fictions. You know, like just
right,
something easy
right.
about, you know, right, war history or something.
Right. What were the Irish suffering from in 1812 instead of 1882?
Yeah.
Yes,
exactly.
Just something.
She's
something
like,
different.
You know what? I'm just noodling out a couple of books and doing, you know, just narrowing it down to 5 or 6 sets a night. I'm saying she works a lot.
You guys. I'm going to tell you this, is that I don't, she has inspired me. We could just talk about her for an hour, but okay. She has inspired me to want to do more things. Is that working
that's
out
good.
For me?
No, that's a good friend. Is it working out for you?
I'm at Roosters next week. Hey, look at the segue, you guys.
Is that
you guys feel free okay. to come and see me at Rooster Tea Feathers, Cock-a-Doodle-Doo Comedy Club in Sunnyvale, California.
That is a great club. I
love
the
owner,
club. Heather, and for the silliness of the name, which it came with when she bought it. Like, so
not
I
her
appreciate
fault.
That she didn't change it.
Oh,
but
interesting.
It sounds
who
so
named
silly.
It?
I don't know, but it had been around. We were friends. We're not friends, but we were in each other's orbit a lot when she bought it.
Right,
and,
right.
It was already called Rooster Tea Feathers, so she kept it. But it's one of those dismissive names like Ha Ha Hut. But
right.
It's a great club, like great comics, very well curated, good audience.
Right. The staff is happy. Always
the staff
a
is
key
happy.
Sign.
Mm-hmm. Well, Heather, who bought it, you know, she was a comic and she was like, you know, sometimes in comedy, you know, everybody grab a chair. Let old lady Laura tell you about how, but you'll hit kind of like a crossroads maybe. Like, do I want to pursue stand-up for a living? Or
right.
maybe do something stand-up-ish or comedy.
Or adjacent.
Comedy yeah, world, you know.
Make a lateral move. Yes.
Yeah. Like, do I want, you know, what version of stability do I want? Or what version of, you know,
or
you know,
what
whatever.
Does retirement look like? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
so I ran into Rich.
Yeah, go ahead.
Uh-huh. Oh, she bought it, got married, I think a couple of kids, and maybe they're in college now. You know, she runs it like a thoughtful person who loves comedy and comedians because she is one.
Right, right. And knows that she drives people nuts who she doesn't book because she was that. Like, she knows both sides of it, right? She's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
She no, would. I get it. I get it. People are mad at me.
But
in other news...
Yeah. Yeah, and she won't have, you know, terrible people in there.
No,
you know,
no, it's one of the gifts. I can't wait till Larry Bubbles Brown comes to watch the beginning of my set and then leave. This is what he enjoys.
Is that his deal?
That's his MO. He featured for me once. The first time I met him was just featuring. He's done Letterman twice.
Sure,
but
sure.
Larry Bubbles Brown lives in the Bay Area and Sunnyvale, by the way. That's where I'm talking about. It's
Sunnyvale, Silicon Valley. Come on, all you tech lords. Come see Jackie.
A couple of tech nerds. The MC's a big Pokemon nerd. So it's August 7, 8, 9, and 10. At least one show a night. If you sell them out, Heather might add some. So you tell your nerdo friends that I'm coming. But he came, and that's how I met him. And so every time since, he comes to the show, stays for the MC in the feature, watches the first four or five minutes of my set, and then he's gone.
You can't win over a man named Bubbles.
You know who gave him that nickname? Paula Poundstone.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, Bubbles Brown.
This is some Rich Scheidner deep stand-up stories.
I ran into Rich Scheidner.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you sent me the picture. Gosh, that guy's the best.
That guy's a great guy. He's a great guy. He's in town. He retired to North Carolina and is just doing stand-up. It's with stand-up comics, this is my opinion, is that there's no retirement. There's what is called a semi-retirement, which means you'll only do the gigs you're offered. And you'll figure out what else to do for cash. But one of the things he does is he has written, I think, a book about the history of comedy.
Yeah, well, he does his own show called The History of Stand-Up Comedy, and it is an incredible hour of just story after story. I went and saw it. We saw it 6 or 8 months ago or something, and it was one of these, like, it was in a little theater in L.A. over on the West Side, and the audience was peppered with comedy royalty, not household name royalty, not like a Chris Rock, but like Bruce was there. But
Bruce,
like,
Bruce was like, there?
Yes. Like you're going to, like Fred Travellina is going to be in the audience. You know what I mean? Like, people that you go, oh, wow, that's the,
and then Cindy Campanera's brother. Was he there?
Right. Somebody, but people on that, you know, that sort of thing of like, John Campanera, those kinds of, that you go, not a household, but like, they've been doing this for 40, 50 years, people. Yeah. And then, oh gosh, there was, he took a Q&A. Also, the kind of show he does is like any great headliner. It's what he does with stories is like what Brian Regan does in his set, where I distinctly had the feeling he definitely had a through line and the history of comedy and Mark Twain and various people and up to now, but that if you saw him the next night, it would be 40% different and just as entertaining and just as enlightening. You know, it's not a canned, he has so many deep,
he has so many stories.
Baseball stories. Yes.
Because I was sitting in the green room with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And every time I walk in,
he's a jukebox. He has a story for everything.
Exactly. And I was like, who put a nickel in him? And and so we were standing in the hallway, and Kira Sultanovich came up, and she was like,
right, you're at the Comedy and Magic Club, right?
I was at the Comedy and Magic Club for their anniversary.
That's
and,
exciting.
Yeah, it was super fun. And it was really great, actually. But my sets actually were not that great because I had just gotten off a plane. And you have to do 5-minute sets and they ring a bell. And,
gosh.
And then at
like
the end
the
of it.
Like the Gong Show.
A little bit. And so what I had done, though, sadly, was grabbed a 12-minute set list. And so at 4.5 minutes, I was like, wait. They were a little disjointed each set. And I was I must have. And so I did two sets that night. And the second set, I was like, well, just pull the middle out of it. And that should be 5 minutes. Well, it was still six. Yeah. And so, they still had to ding me in the middle of a bit, which had, you know, there's always several punchlines. It's fine.
You had barely gotten to the part about the hot barrel.
Right. Oh, my God. There's no barrel joke over at the Comedy and Magic Club. Squeaky. Squeaky clean.
Oh,
they like the squeak.
I see.
They enjoy
it. It's really funny that, like, they had to tone down dirty, filthy Jackie Cation for the... like you're so clean anyway that you're like, no, certain things I do are too dirty for there. It's, like, so crazy. Brian quotes Hot Barrel, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know what the barrel is hot. Yeah.
Yeah. He referred to my hot barrel and I was like, how dare you? And he was like, no, it's a Jackie.
That doesn't help, Brent. Because referring to your hot barrel when. Anyway.
But in this house, it gives you permission to say anything. Like if you're quoting a comedian in a different context, you go, oh, okay, then that's great. What's going on? Are you under attack?
Tyson, who is
you're
blind.
Under some kind of attack from a tiny dog.
Right. He must have heard a fly because he will attack. He will attack an insect. There's no holding back with your Tyson.
No, get that fly.
You're McBlinderson.
So much bigger than that fly.
You could get him if you wanted to.
Get him.
I drove Andy to, he's a convention, he's at Gen Con this week, which is the big board game convention.
Oh, okay.
In the United States of America, in Indianapolis once a year. 60,000 people gather in Indianapolis to play board games.
The same weekend as Comic-Con? That seems
No, the weekend after.
Oh, okay. So Comic-Con has wrapped up.
And right, I believe so. And okay. I also... They're different people, too, because Comic-Con, people stand in line to go to watch panel.
Listen, they're different people, but let's
the
take
Venn
a look
diagram
at that
Venn
diagram
almost complete.
Of, yes, I get that like there's going to be three or four people on either side that only do one or the other, but that's a crossover universe, I believe.
I will say this about the Venn diagram thing. We were just in England. That's right.
Yes.
On holiday.
Where they invented the Venn diagram.
Maybe. I don't know a lot about, just made that up. So what I will say.
Writing a book about it.
Right now. She's talking about.
She just self-published a book about it.
It's every time we'd have something delicious, Andy'd be like, do you think Lori would eat this? And I'm like, no. No, really? Lori, she is not. Do you remember the conversation you had with her last week about gravy?
No.
About
she
the
will
Waffle
eat delicious
House?
Or she won't? Oh, yes, she wouldn't. She didn't like things on her hash browns, which I think is have her citizenship revoked.
I will say
that
this.
Makes no sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense. And I will. It is one of the first.
What is nachos
big
to
reveals.
Her? Just chips.
Don't be ridiculous. There's no nachos.
She's like, these are my nachos, and it's like, no.
Do you know her mother's dinner for the two or three years that her mom lived with her? Baby carrots and a glass of vodka.
That's what her mom would have.
That's what her mom would have. And so this is... Lori Kilmartin's taste buds were shot off in the Franco-American War by Chef Boyardee.
I guess, but that could also make you go the other way. You know,
it
like
did,
if you
it
were
did
just
with
raised
my sister.
On yes. baby carrots, like...
Baby
then
carrots
you,
and margarine, you might say to yourself, you know what I want? Curry.
Yeah, you get to college with that, the dorm cafeteria, the card that gets you every kind of, and you go, oh my gosh, 12 kinds of cereal in one bowl. Yes, please.
Yes, please.
That's what I did, but.
That's what happened to me too.
Not everyone takes that rap.
Not everyone goes there. And
no.
But to get back to the Venn diagram, we're in Manchester, England.
Yes.
Across the Atlantic Sea. And the day that we get there,
thanks for the map.
It's a line from Hair.
Okay. All right.
You're actually doing a pretty good impression of the nicest Lori Kilmartin to my weird nerd.
Oh, good. That's and, what I want to be just dialed down versions of either of you.
And it was an Oasis concert was happening.
In
and
Manchester.
A Pokemon Go gathering. Which
wow.
we
Sophie's
Andy and
choice.
I. Andy and I,
do we,
you would think
we
that
do?
We would have been in one of those groups. We're in neither of those groups. Mm. But let me tell you something. The Venn diagram of those two groups is almost overlapping into a circle.
Really?
I
would think they would be completely different. So I'm
no. And
I'm
then
off.
The weird thing is we go to Edinburgh.
Pokemon people love Oasis is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. You wouldn't have called it, but there it was.
Love Pokemon.
Not, I don't necessarily know that it goes the other way, but okay. I do think the Pokemon Go people are Oasis fans. And then we went to Edinburgh after that, and Oasis was playing. And then we went to London, and we were being followed by Oasis.
Yeah, they were following you.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't go see it. It didn't happen.
They're Jackie groupies.
Right, they're Jackie and Andy groupies. Yes, we went around. We went around the country looking for something to do. And go ahead.
And you never gave in to them? You were like, I don't care how many cities they follow me. Like, because they're playing in Van Nuys tonight. You're not going to go?
No, they're just over at the, they're playing at the Irish pub in Van Nuys. No, we're not going.
They're playing at Ireland's 32. You're not going to go?
We're not going. We're not going. What we did see, because Manchester was a last minute addition. Andy just wanted to go to a city in England that he had never been to before.
That is, I love that. So bold.
It was super bold, and we didn't have a plan. And so we go, and somebody recommended one of the oldest libraries in Great Britain.
I saw your post about that. That's very cool.
And it was amazing where books were chained to the thing because books were worth more than what people made a year. And we stayed in a hotel called Hotel Gotham, which, you know that little book they give you when you go in a hotel room and it tells you where the gym is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They printed a newspaper.
Oh, yeah. That's so cute. Did you see that on my screen?
It was super cute.
Yes.
And
that's
across
such a cute
the
way
street,
to do it.
Mm-hmm. It was really cute. It was real steampunky and sort of not Batman-y, but it was kind of
steampunky.
It was steampunky and noir. There was a noir vibe to it. And
Dick, question: could you, like, sometimes I've been at hotels and you could rent a bike or borrow a bike?
Oh yeah.
And
oh,
right,
yeah.
So if they were steampunky, could you borrow a penny farthing?
Just a dirigible. There were dirigibles and you had to like sign out at the, no,
could
we
I
could
sign
not rent
out your dirigible. They're all out. We only have three.
Right. We have to wait until someone comes back. They went out for Indian food.
And one's down, you know, you're always having to fix a dirigible.
I just learned, well, we'll get to it, but I mean, I just want to say, that across the street from Hotel Gotham was a fancy clothing store.
Oh.
And we've known each other a long time. You know that I'm a clothes horse, big fashionista.
Mm-hmm. You love high fashion.
Jackie Cation in high fashion.
To know Jackie is to know that she will not miss
a Met Gala.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is, she's going to put a bird in her hair and she's going to wear a fish tank dress. And, you know, that's the Jackie we all know and love.
So across the street, Andy was like, my favorite. Andy, on the other hand, the guy's a hanger. The guy is, he likes a piece of clothing.
Really? And, okay.
Yes. And he looks good. He looks really good
He's
in nice clothes.
Dude.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when he dresses dapper, he looks very nice. And there was a fancy store across the street from the hotel. And he said, can we just go in? We don't have to buy anything. We'll just go in. And I was like, we can buy things. I've been saving up for this trip for 3 years. And so we go in and I've never heard of her. She's I'm going to give you a quick quiz because maybe you'll know her. Other people have known her. My sister did not know her because my sister, again, was like, well, was she in GQ in 1980? And I was like, maybe. Anyway,
you saw famous?
There was a famous, it is a famous brand.
Okay.
And it is the woman who invented sort of punk rock chic. She put safety pins in stuff. And her name is Vivian Westwood. Mm-hmm. Do you know Vivian Westwood?
No, I don't.
There we go.
Oh, are you trying to shame
better.
Me?
No, I'm.
What if you're like, her name again, is coming Jessica Coles? I'd be like,
is her name
Coles.
TK Maxx. Do you know that TJ Maxx is called TK Maxx?
I did know that. Is her name JC Penney? Then I wouldn't know her. is her right? name Wilhelmina Mart, then I don't know that I've crossed her
Is it
path.
One of those brands that was at Target before I stopped shopping at Target?
Is then her I name would know she, her. Is her name Sheila Husky? Because then I wore her jeans a lot as a child.
No, her name is Vivian Westwood. And Vivian Westwood.
She put safety pins in things.
Right. And he bought, he ended up getting this suit coat that was super cool. And he was like, I don't know. And I was like, I do. I know that you should get yourself a super cool jacket.
Just a treat.
I even tried on a piece of clothes. Oh, nothing looked good on me. Yeah.
Did you get pictures? Yeah,
No, I didn't.
Sometimes
I didn't care.
It's fun just to try stuff on and get the picture and be like, that was enough right. for me. I was in Portland and trying stuff on at a thrift store, and I came across my pictures the other day, and it was delightful even just to reminisce alone of like, look at that jacket I didn't really need. Look at it though. That's crazy.
You know what
if I was a person who had that jacket, and then I was like, I would never wear it. I would never have any need to wear it, but I put it on and it looked cute and that was enough.
And that's enough. You got the photo. Actually, Bamford and I have made the decision that there's no need to buy trinkets. Like she used to buy me like romance novels or I would, I'd be like, that's just a thing that Maria Bamford might like. And so now I just take a picture of it and send it to her.
Yes. I think digital trinket is quite as good. Real life trinket is clutter. I learned. Sometimes you have that really good friend who teaches you how to be a person. Do you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Like I've had several of those.
Yes, yeah. My friend, every now and then a friend has a teachable moment with you where they actually clue you in to upgrade your own humanity. And my friend Gemma, I stayed with her. And first of all, she taught me so many things. One thing she taught me was like she really was offering me her home for a week. It was when in the pandemic, Brian and I moved to Texas and then I came back to LA for work. And she was like, do you want to use our house? Sometimes we're away. And I, you know, so my tendency is like, oh, no, I don't. That's such an imposition. But then I was like, you know what? That would actually be great. And I stayed there and she taught me how to have a guest. She was like, you can have all of this space. And she was just very generous. Anyway, I'm not making much sense. But what she taught me in this moment was when I left, I went to World Market and bought her all these, you know, this cute book and these fun pencils. She's a writer and these fun pens that say things and a journal, you know, and these, and she very sweetly later said, I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate the thought, but it's really hard for me and I'm trying to get rid of clutter. And so things that I don't need, I'd rather you not. And somehow, I don't know how that sounds to people's ears as I say it, but it was kind and it was,
Yes.
Not at all. It wasn't shamey or like, please don't buy me stupid shit. You know, it was like, I love you and thank you. And I just don't need funny pencils.
And please don't buy me stupid shit.
I'm not 12 and I don't need silly if I needed pens,
I needed a silly pen, I would buy myself a silly pen.
When I need a journal, I buy a journal. Thank you, though.
Right.
Next time I stayed with her, I ended up staying there several times, but I left her, she had a Nespresso and I left her like a bouquet of Nespresso flavors. That she had to refill and then a couple maybe she hadn't tried before. And to this day, she's like, oh my God, that was the best. That was so, I never would have tried coconut. I never would have tried this one. Yeah. You know, like she was like, that was so great and something we could really use.
Less classy. I stayed at Liz Winstead's house in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah. And I sent her sandwiches from Zingerman's.
Yes, that that seems like a classy, great. But, no, I don't think it's less classy at all. Oh, because I said Nespresso, it just means Nestle espresso,
right? Guess, but it's
guess
coffee.
What makes it less sound less classy? Put the word Nestle at the front. It's
right,
Nestle
right,
coffee.
Just those bastards.
Does that still sound
is that
fancy?
Still good? Mm-hmm. No, you're right. N-O. Those guys are they're taking over water rights. It's not okay.
Nestle brings it way down. Can I say something? You know, I'm not a news person,
please.
But Instapot. Here's a news story. Instapot wanted to do a. You know, I love my Instapot. I love my Instapot.
Oh, we have one. Ours looks like an R2D2. What do you?
Well,
do you have
this
normal?
Is bad news for you as well.
Oh shoot!
They wanted to MAGA brand. Instapot is like,
Instapot?
I guess MAGA, and they wanted to have an actual like how yours looks like R2D2. They wanted to have a MAGA
that looks like a swastika
cooker.
Or something.
Yeah, I guess it would be shaped like a swastika. Which how do you cook rice in that? I don't know.
You're just doing fish sticks. It's all fish
but
sticks.
Like, this was Brian this morning. He looked up from his phone and he was like, "Oh no, I have bad news. Instapot is MAGA." And I was like, but all I ever do is pressure cook in it with my liberal tears.
Right. Right. Your liberal tears are the salt that make it full of flavor.
Exactly. That's why the rice is so good.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, the thing is, you've already bought it.
First you take my pillow.
Right. The Niemöller quote.
First you take my pillow.
And now you take my Instapot.
Now it's soup.
Now you take my soup. You take my. Are you making soups in the Instapot?
Oh,
are you doing
I make
beans?
Such a good soup. Yes. I'll do beans, chili. It's so good for soup. We do all our rice in there. I guess that's my main things. But I've done some sous vide eggs up in there. It's a nice way to go. Oh, you know what we'll do? Like
sous-vide
sort
egg.
Of. You can make. Like pulled pork or like
brisket
or
sure.
You can even throw in like the frozen chicken thighs at Trader Joe's. You can put them in frozen, a little bit of barbecue sauce, cook them, and out comes this pulled barbecue chicken. Are you kidding me? I'm going to punch you in the face. It's so good.
I got to tell you, this is where you can lose some respect for me. I don't enjoy barbecue sauce. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't
respect for that. I feel.
Are you sad? Are you made sad?
I feel so sad. No. You have your, we all have our own taste. What is your favorite taste? Because mine is probably, I eat tacos almost every day. So it's something like Mexican spices or
like
salsa
a cumin
and like
cayenne
barbecue sauce.
Mix.
That's you? Your cumin?
No, I'm usually a cumin coriander. It's
more
of a Middle Eastern vibe.
Yeah. Middle Eastern shawarma. Do you love a shawarma?
I do love a shawarma. I like a shish kebab better. There's a new dolmades that I'm going to make. I've made it a couple of times. It's quite delicious. It's it's an Egyptian spice mix that I can't remember the name of. And
sumac Greek in it. Mediterranean. You're a za'atar person, would you say?
It's Armenian. It's like that Armenian Greek. Turkish, Egyptian, Lebanese.
Is anything better than Greek, like
food?
Greek, Mediterranean, Lebanese food?
Okay.
That's good stuff.
When we were on holiday, we went out to eat a
You're
lot,
saying
of
holiday
course, right?
now because you were in England?
Yeah. I'm surprised I didn't say it in an accent.
Did you ever go to hospital? They make a real point of not saying the hospital. Like, we're jerks for saying the hospital. We just go to hospital. Is it because you're in such a hurry to get to the hospital? You don't want to say the, you just go to the hospital. Did you stand online for anything?
We queued up. I don't know if you know this, but they queue up over there.
Yeah, and a lorry goes by and a Bobby.
And I'm wearing a jumper instead of a sweater. Mm-hmm, it was too warm. Mm-hmm. We stayed in a hotel, by the way. In all the hotels were interesting. The Gotham was interesting, and then the hotel in Edinburgh was interesting and fancy. I used all
castle?
My points. It was a castle. I used all of my points. So
I love it.
We stayed. It was a Waldorf Astoria, Laura.
Oh, Jackie.
It's called the Caledonian. It was extraordinary.
Did it have a Hilton property?
We almost had a butler. And it was my birthday. And it was, Andy kept on this trip. He likes to invite a tour. And so we toured. He likes to organize us to go on a tour. So we toured this library and that was great.
Okay. I like a tour.
In Manchester. I don't mind a tour. But then he did it again in Edinburgh where we were supposed to tour this castle. And July in anywhere is when tourists come. Yeah. And so like we went to the history of money, the history of the Scottish banks system.
Oh, really?
We went to that museum. Yeah, that was fascinating.
Wow.
And then we went to the National Gallery in Edinburgh.
And then we walked
up to the castle.
Yeah.
And we get to the castle and he's discovered that he hasn't signed up for the tour with the castle people, but with an outside group. So we have to walk half a mile back down the hill and hook up with those people and then walk back up the hill and to the castle. And by the time we made it halfway back up the hill, I was bored. I'm done. Yeah. I'm done with the castle.
Yeah. Done with the castle. Guess what?
Too many people. And I can't face it. So I turned to him and I said, I'm going to go get a massage. It's my birthday. I'm going to go get I have a spa day. And luckily he was like, you do that. And so he went on and he went on the tour of the castle. Sure. Divide and conquer.
You're never going to read about that in a relationship book. I mean, unless you write one. But like that.
Lori's writing.
Lori just finished one an hour ago. It's already climbing up the bestseller list. But that is now that I'm in a good relationship, it is those things that you go, that's a good relationship where it's like, we had a plan. I'm learning I don't like this. And someone loves you enough to go, yeah, then go get a massage. Like, right. I can have an experience without you. Also, that here's my version of that is when I tell Brian, like, even if we're in the middle of Target and a cart full of stuff and I go, oh, I think it's time for me to eat lunch. He's like, okay, all right, I'll put the cart back. I'm checking this out. Like, he goes into like SWAT team mode to like get me out and get me a meal because he knows like I turn into like a Snickers commercial.
Right.
Like I'm fine and then I'm not fine. And he knows it. Like I'll start crying at checkout if we don't get out of there in time. And like, he just knows. So like that Andy's like, yeah, I get it. You don't like to walk up and down hills five times.
And if it gets super crowded, I don't wanna.
Crowded. Just the other day we were out somewhere. Oh, we were at a Target. I don't just go to Target, but all my stories today are about Target. And I understand a cranky kid, a moody kid.
Yeah.
I understand we can't control kids, but a full throated scream. Look, it was my fault we were in the toy section, but I was like,
that's their space.
That is their space. It's like, you know, am I complaining at the beach because there's sharks? Look, I'm in their space, but full throated screaming. And I look at Brian, I'm like, I can't. I just start walking away. And he's like, I get it. We can't.
Sometimes we can't. Because I had saved up for 3 years for this trip,
when I wanted to do things,
we could do them.
You were like, the queen.
We took a train from Edinburgh to London. I spent a fair amount of, we had gotten such cheap tickets, the airplane, that I was like, we're going to spend airplane money for first class train tickets.
Oh, how nice. What was the train like?
Great. It was like 5 or 6 hours. Yeah.
I've been on that train in the 1980s.
8 hours, actually. Oh, in the 80s. Well, and probably not first class in the 80s.
Probably not. But I was in, we had my birthday on that train. in the 1980s. Choo-choo. So I was a foreign exchange student in high school and I lived in Norway, but my high school group from Grand Prairie, a teacher took them to Europe every other year. So my grade went to London and Scotland and I just met them from Norway. And it was during spring break. My birthday's March 20th, so it was always during spring break. My mom had sent with my friends little presents for me and money, and she had given somebody money to have a cake for me. And so we had visited Edinburgh, and we're on that train back to London. And then happy birthday, and a cake comes out, and all my people all handed me stuff. And they were like, your mom gave us stuff to give you for your birthday.
Yeah, your mom sounds amazing.
She was amazing. That's amazing, right? It was like
that's an amazing mom.
87, maybe.
Well played, Mrs. House.
Yeah, isn't that sweet, Carol House, for you? She's like, you should always have a cake on your birthday,
Carol House. You're the best. Hey, let's take a quick break here before I forget to take any breaks at all.
Hey, it's John Moe from Depresh Mode. Every week on our show, we have honest, humane conversations with artists, entertainers, and experts about what it's like to live with an interesting mind. I just interviewed Gavin Rossdale from the band Bush. You might be wondering, what would a successful, handsome, popular musician know about mental health? Turns out, lots.
All the time, we're forced into happy situations, sad situations, challenging situations. Happy, sad, challenging. And it just never ends. And why should it? You know, we're just the sum of all these journeys.
Check out Depresh Mode with John Moe every Monday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back from that break. And let's do
what a good break.
Comic of the Week. It was such
comic
a good break, wasn't it?
Comic of the Week.
And now it has a song.
Yeah.
I'm with Laura House, by the way, who has been a Comic of the Week. And she's the great Laura House. This week's Comic of the Week, Lori really wanted to talk about this woman, too. She is a Chinese comedian, mainland. Oh. Her name is Fan Chun-Li, C-H-U-N-L-I. F-A-N is not her first name, but in the West, her first name would be Fan. Her last name would be Chun-Li, C-H-U-N-L-I. Mm. And she is 50 years old. She's from rural China.
Wow.
And she has blown up on the Chinese version of the internet, which is called WeChat.
Wow.
That's what they've got for social media, something called WeChat. And it's pretty well meddling, like the government's all over it. But I've never seen her do stand-up. I've seen several pictures of her, and I've read an article about the stand-up she's doing. Her video went viral because it was a joke about how she got a divorce and her husband abused her. It was a domestic abuse.
Oh,
and she's doing jokes about the domestic abuse.
Wow.
And she's slaying.
Wow.
And the women in the audience are losing their minds. And the government is slightly made nervous.
Wow.
About her. Because they want to encourage women to just take it.
Just stay.
So, yeah, just stay.
Wow.
Even though divorce is pretty common and not hard to do in China, nobody really talks about it. And whenever they do talk about it, it's usually some city chick. It's not some postmenopausal
rural
lady.
Wow. It's stunning how revolutionary comedy can be. When you think of like the cops that followed Lenny Bruce around, you know, like people are just saying things. It's like, well, what can this do? Like they're not even saying, hey, let's organize. Like you're just saying funny things that might be insightful and truthful about an unfair regime.
Right.
But that makes the regime so mad that
the
have
power
to kill it.
Right, they would genuinely, and so the link to the article will be in the notes.
As much as I can do there. I can't wait to dive into her.
Right, like I was just because I was, you know, you had recommended when I did one set in London, And you had recommended, of course, that I open with "I'm an American and it's not my fault."
Yeah, give it a little poop on it a little bit.
And then I was
let
like,
"Let him know what kind of American you are."
Right, right. And I was like, "It's not my fault, but I also have not fixed it." So I apologize.
And there's great. This whole how well received was that?
It was very well received. Nice. Turns out I could sell 64 tickets in any country in the world.
There
so,
you go.
But it was this whole thing about how, you know, like the INS was created in 1933, the Immigration Naturalization Service. Mm-hmm. In 2003, after 9/11, they changed the name of the Immigration Naturalization Service, which, by the way, was the first time whenever anyone says, well, my grandparents came here legally, you're like, yeah, all they had to do was show up. There was the only people they turned away were Chinese. The only laws there were, oh, I'm sorry, you're too foreign. You're not white enough. You can't come. And those were the only laws that there were prior to like 1933, I believe. I thought it was, might have been 24. But ICE, which of course is the creepiest name of anything. Uh-huh. So Immigration Naturalization Service is a service. And it was created in 1933. It was a service used to bully the Japanese and people, and to sort of get documentation down. And then it was abused. But ICE was created in 2003 after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And you know what that stands for? Immigration and Border Control Enforcement.
Yeah, immigration about control.
Control and enforce. No, okay. It's immigration and
control and enforcement would be those letters.
Customs. Immigration and customs enforcement. And so now it's an enforcement company, right? Industry. And, you know, all those guys wearing masks and hoods.
Yeah.
Because they know that their mothers and their sisters and their siblings would not be proud of them. So they know that they're doing wrong. And they're not even following laws. They're just following, like, presidential decrees, which aren't laws, and they're decrees from a guy who doesn't pay his plumber, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, you're like, you're mercenaries that have been hired by ICE, and you think you're going to get paid. This guy doesn't pay his electrician. Good luck, right? And they're wearing these. But the weird thing for me was that, you know, I was trying to explain this when I was talking to people, is that they're wearing these hoods and masks. And this is, Andy pointed this out, is that they've turned themselves into stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And nobody cares when stormtroopers die.
Oh.
They're cannon fodder. They're supposed to be killed. So they've turned themselves into the expendable. Well, they've turned themselves into expendable cannon fodder.
Pointing out the dichotomy almost of like you put on the hood and the mask, which in a way makes you, it feels invincible, you know, like I'm just a force and intimidating.
Right.
You know,
now I can do all my cruelty fetishes and act out on everything.
I'm a lethal force coming at you. And then Andy, it sounds like, flipped the idea to say, well, you also become like a faceless, non-human, expendable, you know,
robot.
Star Trek black shirt. Or
red shirt.
You know, was it red shirt?
Yeah, it was red.
I took a shot. I really tried. I was in my mind. My fingers were crossed. I was like, some kind of shirt. I know it's a shirt. And
it's
then,
a shirt. They're wearing a certain shirt.
You go.
I think it has a color. Does it have a color?
Does it have a color? Is it like a polo? Is it like a ringer tee?
Yes. So the show itself went well.
This was at the Bill Murray.
Yeah, this was at the Bill Murray, and I did the time, and 64 people came, and some people wore, like, Jackie Cation merch. There was a guy wearing my dad t-shirt, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's incredible. So this was a you show. It wasn't like you jumped on their regular show and did 10 minutes. This
right,
was
I did
a
an
Jackie,
hour.
Jackie headlining, and then people came. Did people compliment you with their fun accents, like, oh, you're just a delight.
I was a delight in a British accent. And then, because I also, there was, like, I know some UK comics, right? So the two nights earlier, Andy and I went and saw Tiff Stevenson and Australian comic Alice Fraser, both prior comics of the week, do their hours for Edinburgh. They did preview hours.
That's neat.
It was amazing. Tiff Stevenson,
that's cool.
So great. Just really, and she has to write it. Hers is about her parents have dementia.
Oh, wow.
And it's hilarious.
Wow.
Congratulations for doing that. Alice Fraser wrote a book called A Passion for Passions, and it's about romance novels and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
And she has a Under the Bugle auspice of a sort of podcast umbrella. The Bugle is a famous British podcast that John Oliver used to co-host. Mm-hmm. And so Alice Fraser's Australian comic, and she has a science fiction podcast now. But she wrote this book. Wow. And so this is the fascinating thing. The premise of one of her jokes that she called back to, and she had like four punchlines to it. And I had not known this. This is how I learned things through stand-up comedy.
Yeah, is
I did not know, and this might sound ridiculous, that a lot of men are taking testosterone.
Oh.
And she was like, men have to stop taking testosterone. And I looked at her. That was one of the premises of the bit. Then she had like four examples. And it led to this other premise of men have no idea what women find attractive in men.
Oh,
They don't know that they're already attractive. Yeah. That we're already attracted to them. They don't need.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
It's such a great premise, right?
That is such a great premise, because when I think about the stuff that's attractive on a guy, it's like their little stubble. You know, sometimes it's when their hair just curls up a little because they've been wearing a hat
or a dimple or just the way they smile or
just
the way they listen. I don't know. Anyway, that's the old joke.
When they say things like, hey, I'm at the store. Do you need anything?
Just thoughtfulness. Wow. Yes.
I'm going to faint.
I think that was one of the punchlines where she was talking about how thoughtfulness was one of the things that women find very attractive in men.
Yeah.
And make you want to kiss on them and do stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they could take that pill for a minute.
Exactly. Hey, we have to take another very quick break because I keep forgetting.
I'm going to keep talking.
Have you been looking for a new podcast all about nerdy pop culture? Well, I have just the thing for you. Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries.
Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries is a weekly pop culture history podcast hosted by me, host Austin.
And me, host Brenda. We've already tackled mysteries such as what happened to the puppets from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is Snoopy Mexican? And why do people hate Barney so much?
From theme parks to cartoons to 80s, 90s, and 2000s nostalgia, we tackle it all.
Check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts.
I'm still talking.
And so that was amazing watching them. It actually opened up the idea because my show was 2 days later. I was like, oh, they all had notes on stage. So I just brought my set list up with me and tried it in a different order. Recorded it, audio recorded it, and now I've been looking at the transcript to see, because you know I'm doing my new album and special in November.
So
all of that stuff is brand new, and as far as being recorded, some of that stuff is not brand new. That mask bit, I've been doing it for a while. People still wear them, and people should wear them, so it's not a bad bit, but I mean, you know when you do a bit for 4 years like and you're tired.
You feel like your bit about wearing a mask is getting dated. Yeah.
Yeah. Except for the people.
That.
Yeah. It's Are you going up this week?
I get your point that, sure, people wear them, doctors and randos at the mall.
Well, and people with immune. And I always wear them at the airport. I always wear them when I fly.
Airports, what a nightmare.
Because it's a Petri dish. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's gross. Am I going? You know what? No, I'm finishing up. But my comedy news, I guess I'm finishing up writing a script for Nickelodeon, and I kind
oh,
of,
cool.
Yeah. When I have a script to write, I just like to focus on that. So I'm doing that. But I'm also teaching storytelling, and I'm coaching comics, and listen, my. I got my fingers in the pie. Is that gross?
That's it. That's it.
Don't put your fingers in the pie.
No, don't do that. That ruins pie.
Mm. Yeah, gross.
So,
fingers.
Stop touching your pie. Stop touching the pie.
It makes fingers better, but pie worse.
It makes the pie much worse. I have I'm almost Lori-like in the fact that I have a set tonight, which will be Wednesday.
And you then always I have come.
And then Thursday, Comedy and Magic. And then Friday, I'm doing the main room at the Improv. And then Saturday, I'm at the Yoo-Hoo. And then Sunday, I'm doing the Crow with Kathy Latman.
Oh, that's Wendy so Liebman. Nice. Oh, and you and I have... Oh, that's such a great show. Kathy's show, right?
About it's Kathy's
generations
show
and
generations of comics, yeah.
You and I are in Pasadena soon at the Barclay. It's like you and me and Kathy Latman and Lori. I think something like that.
Right.
It's
I think that's next Thursday. Yeah.
Something very flattering. Like when Vance booked me, he was like, Jackie and Lori and Kathy are doing this night. Can you do it? You know, that'll be the perfect comedy night. And I was like, well, I'm framing this text.
Well, the great Laura House, you guys. And
thanks for having me.
Woo! I will say this about the, I know that's where we should have ended, but we have more time. But we all went out to tea.
Aww.
Like with Tiff Stevenson and Alice Frazier. Yeah.
Yes, I saw that picture too. What was in the little sandwiches? Tea means cookies and little sandwiches. They call them biscuits.
Right. There was, and they were like pettifors. They were like little bakery goods.
Yeah. And it's tiny little delicious things.
Right. And I had just gotten a 24-hour bug. So I was sick as a dog and could not really eat any of the tea. I powered through some of it because I, of course, have an eating disorder. But I mean, the thing
it sucks to be sick when you travel, man.
I know. And it was 20. So, but get this. So I'm sitting there and Alice Frazier's like, what you should take is this stuff called activated charcoal. And what it does is it attaches to everything bad in your body, all the toxins. Sucks it out and you just end up pooping or throwing it up or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I did that. I think I did that this morning. I think everything's gone. And she's like, well, you're still ill though, right? And I was like, all right. And so we went and we bought it. And the bottle said, take 6 capsules.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt like a lot. But the bottle said, take 6 capsules.
And?
So I took 6 capsules and... My poops were ashy for days. There's all kinds of trouble. Trouble.
Is
too
that,
much info, right?
Is this a normal topic for this podcast? Because you went into now you're ashy poops. I mean,
activated charcoal.
I feel like a lot of ground.
That's what
has
people
been
love about the show. People love about the show is that we're willing to cover all the topics.
Good
but,
for you.
Then I talked to Kira Sultanovich, who, of course, is a witch.
Yes.
And she's a hippie, witch.
She grows her own activated charcoal. She's like, I'm the one who activates it.
She will activate some charcoal.
I get non-active charcoal. Yeah, exactly. I get non-active, and then there's a full moon, and guess what? I activate that charcoal.
You watch it happen. Bam.
Was it something she's done? She believes in the activated
charcoal? Well, I knew that she would have heard of it. And I saw her at the Comedy of Magic where, not even kidding, 2.5 days later from taking the 6 pieces of 6 capsules, I still could barely eat.
Really?
So, yes.
Because you were still sick.
Because it was still, it creates sort of an acid refluxy kind of thing, which never suffered from. And, so I was like, and which is sad, because one of the things Lori does enjoy is the Comedy and Magic salmon. And the salmon's fine. Anyway, so all the food is good. All the food is delicious there. You don't have to have the salmon is what I'm saying.
There you go.
She's always pretty psyched about it, though. Anyway,
it's down there by the beach. Get the salmon.
It's right there by the beach. Yeah. So I tell Kira Sultanovich that I've taken this activated charcoal, and she was like, no, that stuff is good for you. That'll help clean you out. It's not what it's for. It's not for like a 24-hour bug or for food poisoning or stuff like that, but you can take it. It'll work. And I was like, well, the die is cast. It is now 2.5 days later.
Yeah.
I told her I took 6 capsules, and she's like, "What?" and then she told me that I had to just drink bone broth for a couple of days, and I was like,
"Oh,
that's
wow.
not going to happen." But good for you.
People love their bone broth.
I don't know anything. I drank it once, and then now I'm done. Now
it is Flintstones all over again with the bone broth.
Well, it's hard to attach it to the car, the bone broth.
It was 6 English capsules. So who knows?
So it was all done in metric.
Yeah, yes. So that was metric. Who knows how many inches of activated charcoal that would be? There's no way to know.
You have to divide that into stone and then turn it into metric. Yes.
Exactly. What was the exchange rate of that activated charcoal? Like, who knows? It probably sat differently with you than
6
American capsules.
Right. Two other things, the only other 2 things that happened in my trip is we stayed in a Hilton hotel, obviously, in London, and it was the most aggressive hotel that I've ever seen in my life. It was super pointy and just different windows jutted out. It looked like a building that wanted to fight another building.
Wow, a spiky, defensive
had a spiky Hilton. Super defensive. The feng shui on that was not cool.
Did it make you cranky just being inside it?
Yep. It genuinely did.
What was the hotel art?
There was
intense,
one piece of
violent.
It was a piece of paper, and then it was literally like a shadow of a book. One piece of art. That was it. It
one
was amazingly
piece of art,
terrible.
A shadow of a book. Wow. That's bad in a whole other way.
Mm-hmm. It was dumb. And it was in between Hyde Park and Regent's Park. And we walked through Hyde Park, and it was great. Mm-hmm. And then because I was sick, I had bought theater tickets to go see my neighbor Totoro, a live action puppet version of this anime movie, Miyazaki movie. And I couldn't go.
Aww.
Couldn't go, too sick. So Andy goes. And the next day we were either going to go to the British Museum or we were going to go do something. And Andy comes back from the plane and he's like, how do you feel? Can we go see it again tomorrow?
Oh, he loved
it.
And he wanted
me to see it. Yeah.
Aww.
So we went the next day and it was so good. It was so good. And what I love about Miyazaki, you know, that guy, I think lived through Hiroshima or something. The Japanese anime. He's got to be pushing 100. And
I'm saying wow, I have no idea what you're talking about right now. Like
Hiroshima was a big thing in World War.
No, that I've heard of and anime. And then otherwise I'm just going, mm-hmm. Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, but what I like about Miyazaki, because he lived through that horror, is that all of his stuff is super dark and has some melancholy, but they all have happy endings.
Because
he doesn't need it.
That's what's needed. Yeah, exactly.
He's already upset. He doesn't need you to watch.
We get that it was bad.
Yeah, we get it. It's all good. So,
I'm glad you had a wonderful, that you let yourself have a wonderful vacation. I don't know that we let ourselves do that very often.
Right.
And that you saved the money. And then when you were there, you were like, let's just do what we want to do. And you did. And
we
had
didn't
so
even
many
spend
adventures.
All the money.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think that's
amazing.
Often the case too. We're afraid we don't have enough. And then you get there and you're like, I don't need
everything.
Much. Yeah, you don't need everything.
But we took a fair amount of cabs. And they don't have they have Uber, which I don't like Uber. I like Lyft. But they also have something called Get, G-E-T-T, Get.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Get.
In Southeast Asia, they have something called Grab, which sounds super aggressive. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, but so, you know, what do we have? What a Grubhub. That doesn't sound delicious.
Do you know? Oh, do you know what their Grubhub is?
But you get it. It's
they
fine.
Call it Deliveroo.
Yes, Deliveroo. That adorable. Also sounds more like an Australian thing, but you know, whatever. Good for them.
Right. Right. Uh-huh. It's got it going on. And I will say this, I got off stage and any number of local comics had come to see me as well, which was kind of flattering. And like a handful of local comics. And then the staff is all, they're all comedy performers. That's Bill Murray. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Alice Frazier's husband, who has seen enough stand-up, much like Brian and Andy. they've seen a great deal of stand-up comedy. And they were all like, that was the most, the tightest, smartest, like straight up stand-up that I've seen. Pat, who's Alice's husband, said ever, which I thought was very flattering.
High praise. People don't throw that around. Nobody says that just to be nice. Like, just to be nice, people go, hey, that was really funny, or that was great. That's a just to be nice. Right. That is a meaningful, entirely sincere, every word compliment. That's amazing.
It was amazing. Plus, especially because there was 10 minutes in the middle that was brand new about my siblings. So,
that's great. Yeah. How pretty encouraging. Great.
It was super encouraging. We've done an hour, Laura House.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You have played the part of Laurie Kilmartin so well, so wisely.
I can't wait till next year for everybody's birthday. I'm in and you're out. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Laurie.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows
supported
directly
by you.